Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Your World Today, the Ramadan edition. I'm Anisa Isak and I'll be keeping you company for the duration of the show, inshallah. Well, we start this afternoon with talking about Gaza and the legal action against Western nations that Nicaragua has threatened, as we see them in the ICJ at the moment. Now, Nicaragua sends shockwaves through diplomatic circles as it took a bold stand against four nations, the UK, Germany, the Netherlands and Canada, for allegedly enabling Israel's actions in Gaza, accusing them of complicity in what it terms a genocide. And Nicaragua vowed to pursue legal action at the International Court of Justice, and this move intensified the global debate on Israel's actions and the role of international actors in the ongoing crises. And this afternoon we talked to Dr. Attila Kissler, and he's going to be giving us his thoughts and with regards to this particular issue. Dr. Kissler, good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you. So, as an expert in international law, what was your initial reaction to Nicaragua's threat of legal action against the Western nations over Gaza?
I think when I saw this for the first time, I thought it was quite a bold move. And it follows the emergence of a trend that we already saw over the few years where we saw it in the case of Gambia versus Myanmar, where states from the global south are more confident in speaking up on issues around international criminal justice and the responsibility of states. So I think it's generally must be a move that should be welcomed. At the same time, of course, states very often have their own political agendas and foreign affairs interests. And that makes East states, of course, as well, states like South Africa, Nicaragua, also susceptible for the critique of their own conduct and their own human rights circles.
Absolutely. Now, Nicaragua claimed that supplying arms and materials to Israel constitutes complicity in genocide. How strong is their legal argument?
So the allegations that Nicaragua made is that Germany, by providing military aid, military equipment to Israel, Nicaragua is alleging that Germany is complicit in violations of the Genocide Convention and the rules of international humanitarian law, the rules of war. In that regard, yesterday in the hearing at the ICJ, Nicaragua presented a number of quotes and statements by state representatives of Germany, and today we saw the submissions by Germany with respect to these arms transfers. We will have to see how the court will, to what extent the court will actually require detailed evidence. Because one of the key arguments that Germany made in terms of the facts in this matter was that actually since October 2023, Germany has drastically turned down the licensing of arms exports to Israel, and that they basically providing a very minimum amount of arms, and most of them are either defensive or for training purposes.
Now, the International Court of Justice has been brought into the fray. How likely will such a case proceed? And, well, we know it's going ahead, but what challenges might Nicaragua face?
It remains to be seen how the court will decide. This is a very complex matter. Germany, in their submission, brought up three key elements in their submissions today. The first one was around the jurisdiction of the court to decide over this matter. And Germany said that there's actually not even a legal dispute, because apparently the note verbal was sent to the wrong email address. And that Germany was also saying that because Israel is not part of these proceedings, that the court cannot make a determination on potential violations of by Germany deriving from the complicity through arms exports, that would require the court to actually make a decision about whether these the conduct of Israel actually constitutes a wrongful international act. So those were two major points. And then, of course, Jeremy was stating that there's no plausibility of potential violations of international law, and that there was no knowledge or intent by Germany to by supporting Israel with arms to commit any kind of violations.
Now, Germany in particular was singled out for its support of Israel despite its self-proclaimed responsibility due to historical context. How significant is this aspect in the legal discourse?
I think Germany made that quite clear also in their submissions today, that because of their past, because of the Holocaust, they of course stand by Israel, and any threat to the existence of Israel or anything relating to the right of self-defense to Israel. That became quite clear. It's not much of a surprise, I think. To what extent that might influence the legal assessment by the court remains to be seen. I think the key points in Germany's submissions were still around the jurisdiction of the court, prima facie jurisdiction of the court, and to what extent the court actually can make a decision in this matter.
Now, Nicaragua's move follows the UN court's interim ruling acknowledging the plausibility of genocide in Gaza. What impact might this ruling have on the legal proceedings?
I think that's a million-dollar question. It's very difficult to say at this stage. How it might the impact on the case, for instance, was brought forward by South Africa, depends on the outcome of this matter. The court will most likely make a decision quite soon about this, and all depends, like, if the court accepts that it has prima facie jurisdiction to make a decision in this matter, then there are still other challenges that the court would have to address that Germany brought up in their submission today.
Yes.
If the court would go through and say the issue provisional measures in terms of ordering Germany to stop their arms exports, for instance, to Israel, and that's a big if. This could be a massive landmark case that goes beyond the conflict in Gaza, that actually is relevant to any state that's delivering arms to other states, especially states that are engaged in an armed conflict.
How does Nicaragua's stance resonate with other Latin American countries' diplomatic actions in response to the Gaza crisis?
I think I must admit I am not that familiar in that in those terms of foreign affairs, but I think it's like in general this sends a signal to at least attempt to reveal double standards in terms of international criminal justice and the laws relating to armed conflict. So I think in general, not only limited to Latin America, I would say to the entire global community, this sends a message that states must be held responsible if there is a wrongful international act.
And Nicaragua also highlights the issue of funding cuts to the UNRWA. How does this factor into the broader legal and humanitarian context?
I think what we've seen, and it's also a major point that came up in the submissions yesterday and today, that where Germany was saying that they suspended the decisions to grant new funding to UNRWA, and that UNRWA still has funding until the end of May, I think it was said. But I think the because of the limited number of potential actors in terms of humanitarian aid, UNRWA plays an essential role in the humanitarian situation, increasing the humanitarian situation in Gaza. And attacks like we have seen them on the World Central Kitchen convoy, they limit the numbers of players that can actually help to increase the humanitarian to help the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And preventing stakeholders from providing aid is certainly something that will be looked at if this case will move forward to the merit stage, or if once the South African case against Israel makes it to the stage of merits.
All right. Now, looking at the broader implications, what might the ripple effects of Nicaragua's actions on the global stage, especially concerning international relations and humanitarian law, what would the implications be?
I think this application, if we look at it in a more broader terms, it sends a message that especially like global states from the global south claim more responsibility in terms of enforcing international law and rules of international criminal justice. Of course, it further shapes public opinion, and as it attempts to call out in these instances now Western states on their double standards. At the same time, like I said, it makes them susceptible, and yes, they have to deal with that, with the critique of their own human rights records. But I think either way would shape public opinion. It gives the courts an independent court a chance to legally analyze these kind of situations. And like I said, if the court would decide to make a decision in this matter, it could have it's likely to have a massive impact on the responsibility of states that are delivering arms to other countries that are engaged in an armed conflict.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Much appreciated. And I hope we talk again soon. Hopefully we'll see positive, come out of this, and this whole situation come to an end. I think it's been 6 months, and we've seen a lot of bloodshed, and it continues as well.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.